Gentlemen, we went over the rules in the dressing room. I want to caution you to keep this fight clean at all times, and what I say, you must obey.
Live from the WKOM studio in downtown Columbia, it's time to wake up and get woke. It's Three Dudes with a View.
Let's get it all!
All right, welcome in. Three Dudes with a View. It's a sort of a gloomy, rainy Thursday here, but we're all here. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. How are you, Mr. York?
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody out there.
All right. And I think he's only going to be with us the first segment. Favorite son, native son of Columbia, Ron Hart. Good morning.
Good morning.
Where are you driving to, Ron?
Going down to Dalton, Georgia. This is with Mr. Shaw. No carpet guy, but an old client buddy of mine. Good dude. Great old Southern gentleman.
Good deal. And regular special guest dude, we're glad to have her back, Debbie Matthews.
Good morning. Good morning. I was doing a deal in Dunlap, Tennessee yesterday, which is a beautiful little town.
It's way on up there.
It's like, well, it's northwest of Chattanooga, so it's about 2.5 hours from here. But we made
it's
it all.
It's kind of hot, they say. There's a lot of people moving up there.
It is gorgeous. And yeah. And you can't think of Dalton, Georgia without thinking carpet, Ron. So that's the first thing I thought of when you said carpet. And then you said Shaw, and it was like, okay.
Yeah. He's 92 years old. He's been a fixture there for years.
Wow. Well,
that's amazing. All right. You got a new column out, Ron. It's called Weaponizing Government Against Trump is Predictably Backfiring. And Ron Hart's column is in about 50 to 60 platforms around the world, newspapers, internet sites, that type of thing. He writes a weekly column. It appears here in Columbia alongside Seth Campbell's column. Seth frequently is one of our guests, and Seth takes the progressive point of view. Ron takes the libertarian conservative point of view. So Ron's column and Seth Campbell's column appear side by side each week in Main Street, Murray. Ron's got a new one out. Again, weaponizing government against Trump is predictably backfiring. This week, the Supreme Court voted 9-0, something it almost never does, to toss out the Colorado Supreme Court's decision that Trump could not be on the ballot there. Without even being charged with insurrection, the liberal lower court used an antiquated 14th Amendment clause, which was used to bar Confederate officers from being a part of the Reconstruction political process in the 1860s. The High Court decision that Trump is not Robert E. Lee might be the only ruling that would hurt him with voters. And Ron, just so you'll know, we had our primary here in Murray County and statewide and Super Tuesday in many states. But yesterday, Trump received 9,550. No, day before yesterday, Trump received 950,057 votes.
9,000 votes. Yeah.
9,557.
Yeah.
Biden got 982. Nikki Haley.
Yeah, I think Jim voted twice.
Did you, Jim?
No, because
I'm joking.
They know you down there.
Trump only got about 8,100 votes out of the total thing, and Biden got about 1,000.
I'm looking at the Herald.
Yeah, round up
the Herald reports 9,557 for Trump and 982 for Biden in today's paper. Ms. York, it's time to thank you for serving on the Murray County Election Commission. Once again, there are five people on the Murray County Election Commission, and it's composed to reflect the vote in the county. And so Republicans have three representatives on the Murray County Election Commission. Democrats have two. But once again, thanks to Mr. York and the other four members of the Election Commission, we have had an election that in Murray County that nobody doubts
Well, it was paper ballots, too. Murray County's one of the first and few in the state of Tennessee that does paper ballots, and it went so smoothly.
Right, but I don't think...
Williamson County had electronic machines and went smoothly up there.
You still stick the paper ballot into a machine at the end.
It counts to make sure that everything's there, but there's a receipt.
Still goes into a machine, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but...
Regardless, we
had a couple of snafus with it.
I heard there were some printing problems for a
minute. There was also some counting problems because for the mail-in ballots, when they're folded, it creates a false sense to the machine. So we had to do some different resolutions to count the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the machine may see that fold as a vote.
Right.
Yeah. But you got that ironed out?
Yeah, I think we have it. We'll just have to, the resolution team will have to work much harder.
Okay.
When we get a big election, if that happens, you know, there might be possibility there might be more mail-in ballots that create that situation.
And
got one coming.
Yeah, I had someone tell me that that they went to vote and they were shocked that we asked for their ID to sign in because the state they were from, they never got asked for their ID to cast a vote. So they were pleased to see that in Tennessee. It was their first time to vote here. They were thrilled about that, but they had never in the past been asked to show an ID.
Yeah, but regardless of whether it's paper or in the past, we've had electronic voting in Murray County. You know, in the last 50 to 60 years, we've just had nothing to worry about in Murray County in terms of having a secure, fair election. And I thank Mr. York and the others who serve out there for making that happen.
That's one of the reasons... One of the reasons, Delta, I didn't see any reason to change it. We've had electronic voting for years, and there's never been a snafu. And it's been honest elections. You know, I served on the commission 5 years before, and we've never had a problem with elections.
Well,
and then all of a sudden, people want to go to paper ballots, which is like going backwards.
Hold up just a second, Jim. I'm going to say a personal experience. When I was running in 2016 and was on the ballot, I went to College Hill, where I had been reconfigurated, so I vote on the east side, and I went in to vote, and I went in to vote for myself, and I was not on my ballot. And the man that was crusty old man that was doing the election, I told him there was something wrong with my ballot. I was not, I didn't have the right ballot, and he told me I was wrong, and how stupid I was. And I said, no, sir. I said, no, I don't have the right ballot. And he said, I'm telling you, everything is fine. I said, look, I'm the candidate. I'm supposed to be on this ballot, and I'm not on here. So, you know, things happen all the time. And anytime you've got an electronic device that can be hacked from the back by foreign adversaries.
Hacked, Debbie.
Yes,
it can't be hacked. Those electronic devices aren't plugged into any internet. Only thing they're plugged into is electricity.
Yeah, but they're open source.
There's no way to hack into those. They're not on the public net.
We need to go back.
Let's turn back to Ron's column because he's about to have to go. And we've just not had any problem with voting in Murray County for 50 or 60 years, whether it's no matter what kind of machine has been used. Now,
exactly.
other places, I don't know.
I can't vouch for other places.
Right. The deliberate encouragement, Ron writes, the deliberate encouragement of illegals allowed to cross the border to a welcome wagon federal border agents is treasonous. Tax dollars provide $400 a night hotel rooms in New York City, plus all kinds of welfare goodies. Biden clandestinely flew, and I'm going to say at least 320,000 illegals. Ron, the real number, that's the number they got caught at. It's much higher than that.
On the phone request, Freedom of Information Act, they got 320. I bet there's more than that.
No, when the second term of the Obama administration, I was working with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, every day. And planes were landing all over Tennessee from all sorts of countries, many from Africa, and a whole lot from Africa. And and they were being paid for. Usually somebody like Catholic Charities gets a big government contract, and they're the ones hiring the planes. But
we've had 430,000 Russians come over here in the last couple of years.
Well, okay. How did they? And yet they're
leaving Putin's board and coming this way. So, you know, is that a problem?
Well, they don't want to fight in Ukraine. Don't blame them. Okay, this has irked Americans. If Biden's border agents ask illegals when they cross, "Do you have guns or drugs on you?" The illegals are so emboldened now they would answer, "Yes. What do you need?" Seeing his numbers dip, Biden brazenly, in defiance of all the facts, tried to blame the porous border on Republicans. The Democrats manufactured a feckless border bill, which was just a $60 billion Ukraine aid bill. It was a joke. They knew the bill would not pass. There has not been a bill that dangerous and unpopular since Bill Cosby. Okay. So what does Biden have to run on? The January 6th sham? The DOJ, Merrick Garland, and his attack dog, Jack Smith, are losing ground daily. Jack Smith doesn't have Jack, yet the Dems keep milking it. It has gone on forever. Some medical advice for Dems that I've learned watching ever-present pharmaceutical commercials on television. If your insurrection lasts more than 4 years, consult your doctor. Where there is corruption laid bare for any fair-minded person willing to pay attention, there you'll find the Biden Inc. influence peddling operation. The Chi-Coms gave the Bidens millions of dollars, although they called the Chinese guy who gave them all this a friend. It would help the Biden obfuscation efforts if the big man's name was not Cha-Ching.
That's right. Well done.
Yeah, a satirical column that's meant to be funny and talk about the issues. So people need to understand that is not the gospel truth. Which Ron is
what's not true about this story.
Biden's got the best economy that's ever in this country.
Oh, holy crap. Excuse me.
Best economy running ever.
What's not true in the column? You never come up with facts. You just say stuff. So there's more disinformation in your attempt at truth than mine at humor.
Ron, it was well done.
And thank you.
It was well done. You know, I listen to Jim, and I listen to MSNBC. MSNBC went apoplectic because of the 9-0 vote on the Supreme Court and talked about how it was a MAGA court. And here, all the Democratic, all the progressive people also voted to make sure that he was on the ballot.
You're talking about going nuts. Keith Olbermann lost his mind. Literally lost his mind. Yeah.
So did Travis
Jones says if Trump's elected, we'll immediately go to a full war with Russia and Europe. And American soldiers will die.
Who said this?
Travis Jones, you know that nut.
Van Jones.
I was trying to say, Travis Jones is a good Republican. What is he doing?
Yeah, sorry, Travis.
Van Jones.
Wrong Jones.
Everybody will be drinking vodka over here. Everybody will be drinking vodka if Trump gets elected.
Well, it's kind of funny to show you. Y'all
what brand?
Nothing to run on. So you say it's a threat to democracy. Everything's a threat to democracy. What's more threat to democracy than a Colorado court pulling someone's name off the ballot?
That's right.
That's been changed. That's why we got a Supreme Court. The Supreme Court changed that, and I think they made it.
And Colorado voted for Trump big.
Swing and a miss.
All right.
Big swing and a miss.
I think Colorado voted 91%.
All right, here's how Ron concludes, because I know, Ron, you've said you got to leave us. I don't know when, but I want to get this in before you do leave. This Ron concludes, the good news is that Taylor Swift and her current boyfriend, Travis Kelce, is that his name?
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, says that they will leave the country if Donald Trump is elected. Go, baby, go. Let's take up a collection for a plane ticket. Sensing danger, Hillary Clinton appeared on The View to warn that if Trump is elected, it will be the end of our country as we know it. That is just what we are counting on, Hillary.
That's right. Well, her last statement was before the 2016 election, if Trump gets elected, we're all going to swing. And I think that has more to do with what she's worried about.
Y'all love killing democracy. When more people vote, you don't want them to vote. So you love killing democracy.
I don't care how many people vote, as long as they've got an ID.
Take people off the ballot. That's how we kill democracy. We take people off the ballot. That's what Putin does.
That's right.
And we prosecute our ballot. We prosecute criminally our opponent in the upcoming election.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, when they do something wrong, you've been in a court of law all your life, and you know
you have evidence to prove that somebody did something.
Then why didn't they prosecute him 1 year after his term? Why didn't they prosecute him the second year after his term? Why didn't they prosecute him the third year after his term? No, they waited until right before the election, Jim. It is election interference.
Dale can tell you when the right time to prosecute a case when you get all the evidence lined up.
Miss York, these are obviously political prosecutions. Political prosecutions. Time to be right before the election. You know, it's just third world stuff is what
it
is.
He shouldn't have done this
stuff. It's not a democracy.
Y'all whining and crying when he's committed crimes.
No,
you don't indict and prosecute your political opponent. That is the end of democracy. Let's take a break. We're out of here.
Visit your local Buick and GMC dealership first for new or pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Parks Motor Sales. At Parks, professional sales staff makes shopping easy. Buick and GMC financing can put you in the vehicle you want, and certified technicians keep vehicles running great. Experience the new Buick at Parks Motor Sales. Go online to parksmotorsales.com. Find your favorite vehicle. Then stop by Parks at 919 Nashville Highway for a test drive. Parks GMC. We are professional.
Deciding what your next home will look like, cost in construction, or timing can be intimidating. At The Way Realty, our licensed general contractors help take the fear out of home building by walking you through the step-by-step process of estimating the cost and designing the look that you desire. You can even stay in your house until your new house is finished. Do you have a family farm or a piece of land you would like to build on? Our prices start at $195 a square foot and include brick and nice finishes. Come by our office and see what we can do for you at 800 Hatcher Lane in Columbia, or call us at 931-580-4669.
I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, this is Steve, the garbage man. Y'all have heard me talk in the past about Packer, our mascot dog. Well, I have some sad news about Packer. She recently crossed over the Rainbow Bridge to join our other beloved pets of the past. Packer lived out her final days on our farm in Water Valley. She had a great 14 years of life after being rescued by Don from being thrown away as a pup in someone's garbage. Rest in peace, Packer.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook, or call today, 388-2090.
This is Dr. Dominic Mancini from the Dr. Gill Center. Have you been injured in a car accident? Are you still in pain? Untreated whiplash injuries to the spine may lead to future conditions such as neck pain, low back pain, and headaches. The doctors at the Dr. Gill Center specialize in detecting and treating these conditions before they get worse. Our accident consultations are free. Call me, painfree.com, or call 615-551-9224.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high-quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold.
The Jeweler's Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE PrimeTech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
Farmer Johnny here, Taylor Family Farm. I want to give you all a little look-see. We raise 100% non-GMO grass-fed beef, pasture chicken, and pork on our family farm. Everything that we grow is raised with love and care to ensure the highest quality and nutrition for our family and customers. You can shop online at TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com or visit our farm store in person at Etheridge, Tennessee at 301 Dave Reisner Road. That's TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com for more information.
Okay, we are back. Three Dudes with a View. It is rainy, sort of gloomy Thursday out there. My name's Del Kennedy. I'm dude number three. Dude number two, Clayton Harris. Good morning.
Good morning, Del. I'm optimistic it's not going to rain today. Okay. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. I'm sick of the rain.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's official. You have spoken. There we go. All right. Dude number one, Mr. Jim York. How you doing?
Good morning, Del. Good morning, everybody.
And regular
got to enjoy this type of weather. This is natural weather.
It's a lot better than minus eight.
You got that right.
It's a lot better than tornadoes running through too.
Yep.
You're right, Jim.
You well said, Mr. York. And regular special guest dude Debbie Matthews. Good morning.
Good morning. And we all need to be thankful for the rain. I mean, we needed it for sure. But I can guarantee you it will rain tomorrow because I'm supposed to have photos made at 10 on a house I'm putting on the market. So. There will be rain tomorrow, guaranteed.
That's sort of like my umbrella theory. If you remember your umbrella, it won't rain.
That's right. Or you wash your car.
They also said California's drought will not happen again because of obviously they got a huge winter storm there.
Right.
But they're projecting even into next year, they're going to continue to get a lot of moisture and precipitation. And that's huge.
It's fantastic for the crops out there. Yeah.
I hope the ground doesn't crack like it did last summer around here, you know, so we need the moisture.
That's right. Thankful for the rain. But, yeah, it's going to rain tomorrow. I mean, I asked my photo guy, I said, put me down for Monday. Oh, I'm going on spring break. So I need photos tomorrow, so it's definitely going to rain. That's where we are.
There we go. Umbrella theory. All right. We're hearing that in the Tennessee State House, the voucher or school scholarship bill has advanced at least out of one subcommittee. We're also hearing that the impact fee bill for Maury County at least got out of one subcommittee as well. So that's news for Maury County and the state of Tennessee for sure. Scott Sapecki ought to be. I've been trying to communicate with Scott all week, and he's busy, I know, and we trade phone calls, miss each other, and that kind of thing.
We're hiding out.
What's that now?
Oh no, they're
maybe
busy.
Hiding out.
I don't think he's hiding out, but he will be on in the morning with Jim Ross. You, I assume he is almost every week, and can tell us what happened in the legislature on both those issues this week.
Yeah, that voucher thing, no, Del, that's crazy, man. If a family of four makes $56,000 in Tennessee, they're not eligible for any kind of assistance for lunch for their kids. But if a person makes $560,000, the state of Tennessee is going to give them $14,000 extra if they got two kids for the voucher.
Well, they would be under
that's a hell of an imbalance.
Yeah, I have.
Well,
heard.
Not that I'm defending, but I think you've got it a little bit wrong, Ms. York. The bill contemplates that a set amount of money would be appropriated, I guess, annually by the legislature for these scholarships. There is a priority list in the bill of who gets the scholarships first out of a defined pot of money that the legislature appropriates. The people who
but is
make,
there an income limit?
There is not an income limit.
Okay.
But those high income earners that you're talking about are at the bottom of the list. They will only be funded if the low income folks who applied are fully funded. So they are at the bottom of the list.
That's a cluster right there. So
I have heard that
the list of folks with different salaries, and the high income's at the bottom, and the low income's at the top.
The low income can't
afford it, so the high income gets the voucher, right?
I'm not necessarily, Ms. York. You know, I'm ambivalent at best about this voucher business, but only if the low income people are fully funded, and they're. I don't have the bill in front of me right now, but there are two or three different tiers. But the low-income folks get the priority. They get funded first. Then if there's money left, it moves up to slightly higher income. And then if there's any money left, it goes up to, I think it's people earning above, I can't remember what it is. But
Jim, there's not anything wrong with parents.
You're right about them tiers. But there's going to be tiers of sorrow.
But Jim, there's nothing wrong with people that even make money to get their own money back for their children's education. They paid in. They deserve to get it back out if they want to send their child somewhere else.
Debbie?
Do what
now? You ever heard of paying forward? You ever heard of paying
forward? I pay for every day, Jim. But she,
you paid for you to be here, so you paid for somebody else.
And I don't have children, and I pay in gladly. Okay.
Okay. And speaking though of legislative development, so we've had movement on the movement in the House this week on the scholarship voucher bill. We've had movement on the impact fees for Murray County. Nationally, Andy Ogles, our congressman, writes, "I voted no on today's swamp bus," which
the
I guess
omnibus
the
thing.
Omnibus. He
bill.
Calls it the swamp bus. It still funds the DOJ tyrants and the DEI dictators. The bill was a disingenuous attempt to tell Americans that everything is fine by averting a shutdown despite its lack of conservative policy writers. I look forward to voting no on the sequel.
And well, they're saying our budget's going up $1 trillion every 10 days, guys. I think that's what the number is.
The GOP wants to shut down the DOJ, the FBI, the ATF, and the EPA. They want to cut the very funds of people that protect folks in this country. They're doing the best they can.
Oh, yeah, we're with the government. We're here to help you.
That's
right, exactly.
Yeah.
They're not absolute, though, Del. There's things that fall through the crack, but they have been keeping this country safe since 9/11.
Ms. York, all 982 people who voted for Biden in Murray County are with you.
Now, going back, though, to this voucher bill, Del, you read the bill.
Yeah, several times.
Do schools that take the vouchers, private schools, do they have to take the same testing that the public schools have to take? For example, like TCAP?
No.
They do not.
Most of those, almost all of those are what's called a Category 4 school. And so the answer is no.
So they're not held to that same standard that the public schools
are. No accountability, Clayton. No accountability. They just get the money.
Well, there are... That's not exactly true. Now, again, Ms. York, I'm not. I mean, you're putting me in the position of defending this bill. There are a lot of things in there that certainly deserve criticism, I think. But in terms of it's a the state is supposed to hire a third party firm to
Somebody else with tax dollars, huh?
I'm supposed to hire
a third party firm. I guess they go out to these private schools. I don't know what they look at, grades, whatever. But they're supposed to report back to the state and to the legislature specifically. As to how these schools that get the funds are performing.
Well, they say that homeschooling's out, but there's a lot of homeschoolers that fall under that category four that are going to be included in this.
No, they have been written out.
No, there are some homeschoolers.
They have been written out, Debbie. I've seen the legislation.
I know that they are saying that, Dale.
The legislative language.
Saying category four schools.
Not all category. Homeschool category four will not be included.
So that's
the way it is. But there is a provision for those who say there's no provision for accountability. There is. Now, how effective accountability provision it is, I don't know. Is it the same? Do they take the same tests and whatnot that the public schools do? No. As the old saying goes, if this thing passes, you know, we'll see. We'll know if. You know, I mean, everybody will know if some private school is doing a lousy job and the state survey reports that they're doing a great job. Word will come back pretty fast.
But don't they already have like accountability measures in place for private schools already? I mean, isn't there?
To the best of my knowledge, Clayton, no.
I mean, because wouldn't you worry that somebody – or people could get together and say, okay, let's start a school.
They can.
That's my thought, Clayton. I was just fixing to ask, Delt, suppose a school gets 500 kids, gets the money for all the kids, and then closes the next year, or close half of the year,
which
a lot of charter schools have done.
There has been a problem. I can't remember which states. A couple of states passed a voucher bill, and they had a problem with these pop-up schools that are just trying to collect the money, that kind of thing. And
carry them out the back door in suitcases.
Shut
it down.
So this bill, and again, I'm just trying to get the facts out there straight. I'm not necessarily defending the bill. But this bill has a provision that a private school has to be in existence for at least 3 years.
That's a great thing.
Before it's eligible for a voucher funding. So that's meant to guard against the pop-up school issue. So we'll see.
I mean, it is sort of a double-edged sword. I mean, if someone pays their taxes in, they should be able to use the money they paid in for their children's school regardless. It's not the government to say how that school should be directed if they want to send their child to a private school, and their money should follow them. That's pretty simple.
So, Debbie, you are.
Because right now.
Electricity, roads, and whatever, Debbie.
Listen. Talking about school.
Debbie, are you for this bill or against it?
I'm sort of with you, Dale. I don't want the strings that come attached to the money, and this is coming from all sorts of places, the money flowing into the state. So I have real problems with it. I do. So I would probably, I don't know where I'm going to land on it.
I've honestly, other than maybe Scott, have not met anybody or talked to anybody that has said, I'm for this.
Right. 80% of this state is against it. And I have heard from a legislator that this started out as $110 million and it's ballooned up to $480 million so far. And they were shaking their head going, I don't know how to pay for this, how we're going to pay for
this. You're talking about $480 million annually?
School. Yeah. Yeah. It's really ballooned up. Uh-huh. So... But I do think that the public schools are now going to be able to count these private school kids because this voucher is going to count those heads, send seven to the voucher to the private school, still be able to count them because a public school head count and keep 5,000. I think that's what will happen.
Mr. York, you say give the money to the public schools. Well, that's the problem. Vouchers would not be here if not for the fact that every time more money's been given to the public schools, no good results occur.
You got to do the whole hog. You can't just put money into it. Have teachers who, I'm not bashing teachers, but we need more qualified teachers.
We've done the whole hog. We've done the half hog. We've done the hog and a half.
We need class sizes.
We need daddies and homes, Jim.
Let's be honest, though. This is all about Governor Lee wanting to leave. This is part of his legacy, yeah. And he wants to put this in right before he gets out of office.
He's determined. He's pushing it through.
I think it's a done deal, you know, regardless of what the constituents
on the
ground
say.
Work,
there's a model right here in Maury County for schools at work, unit schools.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen,
Dale. That's the wisest thing said, period.
Central is a unit school.
Central is not a unit school. And no, frankly, has anybody heard of one of these mega schools, you know, like a Central-sized school or a Battle Creek-sized school? Has anybody heard of one?
Well, we need to build
more
schools.
Has anybody heard of one that works well?
No,
you haven't.
Make neighborhood schools, smaller classrooms, attention to the teachers.
Elementary, yes. High school, no.
All right, let's take a break.
Barry Duke, and you're listening to 101.7 WKOM Columbia.
Are you looking to turn your car into cold hard cash today? Don't look any further than Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. You probably know us for selling cars, but did you know we're in the business of buying cars? That's right. We buy all makes and models at top dollar every day. Show up with your car and leave with cash. It's that easy. Stop by today to get a written offer on your vehicle. Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia is family owned and proud to serve our community.
You can count on us.
Hi, this is Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. Here is what some of our customers are saying about us. Great people, the place to shop for fair prices and great craftsmanship, beautiful vintage and custom jewelry. Thank you, Beth. That is our goal. Stop by and see for yourself. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia, owned and operated by Rick, custom designer, and Terry, registered gemologist, assuring you the best jewelry value and expert services.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Feeling lucky? Lucky this month? Enter Happy Hiller's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes for a chance to win big for your home. Just visit HillerGoldenTicket.com and enter to win a Happy Hiller Club membership or a $1,000 or a $5,000 Hiller gift card. And everyone wins with 0% interest financing on HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, or whole home generators. Enter to win now at HillerGoldenTicket.com.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113, or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
Hey, this is Jonathan Castile, a.k.a. John Boy, with John Boy's Handyman Service. One call and we'll handle it all. Truly means we'll handle it all. From pressure washing your house to doing remodeling, we're licensed, insured, and bonded. So rest assured, John Boy will handle it all. You can contact me at 931-242-7620 or my email, CastileJonathan10@gmail.com.
Debbie Matthews grew up and lives in beautiful Columbia, Tennessee. As a realtor, she is well-versed in homes, neighborhoods, development, and schools. She wants to share her love of her home state with others to help them find just the right place to raise a family, open a business, or develop a dream. From luxury listings to land, she can handle it all. She is the current leading producer, Nashville Realty Group. Contact Debbie Matthews Realtor at 615-476-3224. That's 615-476-3224.
If you have Medicare and Medicaid, you may be able to get more help to cover your care and costs. A United Healthcare Dual Complete Plan can help you get more benefits than Original Medicare. Whether you choose our online tools or over-the-phone support, United Healthcare will help you compare options so you can choose a plan with confidence. See if you qualify for a United Healthcare Dual Complete Plan. Call 855-UHC-MORE. That's 855-UHC-MORE. 855-UHC-M-O-R-E.
This is Trey Adcock with Dixie Equipment Sales and Rental. We sell ASV and Wacker Neuson equipment. We also rent a wide variety of compact equipment in the Middle Tennessee area. Come see us. We are located in Columbia, Tennessee at 200 East 16th Street. You can call us at 615-969-0118 or visit our website at www.dixiediesel.com. We have been in business for over 42 years and we would love to help you turn your project into reality.
This is Del Kennedy, owner of Kennedy Broadcasting Company, operator of WKRM, historically 1340 AM, now FM 103.7, and WKOM FM 101.7. We call ourselves Front Porch Radio, and I've said many times what that means. It means that we are working to connect this southern Middle Tennessee community one listener, one relationship at a time. Let me elaborate on what that means. We will relentlessly promote jobs, commerce, business, industry, education, arts, green space, music, rivers, the great outdoors, healthcare, churches, charities, sports, agriculture, and all the great people of Southern Middle Tennessee. Join us, help us, call us, Front Porch Radio, Del Kennedy. Thank you for listening.
Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be the one who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing.
Okay, we're back. Three Dudes with a View. My name is Del Kennedy. I am dude number three. This is our last show of the week. Tomorrow morning, Inside Middle Tennessee with Jim Ross. And we gang, will be back with you on Monday. If you want to listen to the podcast of our show, you can go to our website. Just Google up WKOM. It'll take you to the website. The podcasts are there. You can also see the video archives of our show. You can watch us live right now if you so desire by going to our website. And the videos are archived as well as the podcast are available for you there. You can also pick up the podcast anywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, wherever. It's out, it's all out there, all the podcast places. And you can see our videos at on our Facebook page,
X
and Twitch, right?
That's it.
There we go. So you can find us, folks. Just Google up Three Dudes WKOM. We're out there. We appreciate you listening. Dude number two, Clayton Harris, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Del. Good morning, everybody.
Dude number one, Mr. Jim York.
Good morning, Dale. Good morning, everybody.
And regular special guest, dude, Debbie Matthews. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to be here.
All right, folks. So you've forced me. I didn't know we were going to talk about vouchers so much today, but I have pulled out the act itself along with a sort of a summary cheat sheet. So let's go on to that because we've got a lot of engagement on that. We've had people writing in. Now, here's something that I – all right, Mr. York, here's how the money is prioritized. Students who are first, these are the first in line, students who are eligible for an education savings account under current law. And I don't know what that, does anybody know what that is?
No.
I don't know, but I'm.
I think it's a tax law that you can put money away for education. It's a five something. I can't remember the number exactly.
I know they have the medical savings account, so maybe there's something equivalent
it's
to that.
It's a 560 or five something.
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
But when it comes to getting these scholarships, vouchers, those are the students that are first in line. Second in line would be a family of four making less than $120,000 a year. So that, I assume that's...
Is that considered poverty now?
No, I don't think so. That's 400% of the federal poverty level. So that's four times the poverty. That's four times the current federal poverty level.
Okay.
So those are the people second in line. Third in line are those family of four making $150,000 or less. And then last in line would be households making $150,000 or more. So that would be the prioritization. Now, here's something that I just didn't understand or realize and still not quite sure how it works. Students participating, and so a lot of our discussion in the last segment was just off base, apparently. And let me tell you, I'm getting this off. This bill is hard to read, and that's the nature of all bills, but because it makes reference to so many things, you know, as defined in Section 39455A, that kind of thing. It really takes a lot to put it together and see what the whole big picture looks like. At any rate, students participating in Education Freedom Scholarship Program, which the voucher, must be administered the statewide standardized assessments required in districts for English language arts and math in grades 3 through 11.
Okay, so
there's the answer to that, folks.
So even if they're in a private school, they're going to take a test.
If they are participating in the education, so
yeah,
that would imply to me that the whole school doesn't have to take the test, but at least those who are getting the vouchers, scholarships. Well, there's some definitions here that people might all be alert for. No longer will the standardized tests be called TCATs. TCAP. What did that stand for? You know,
Tennessee.
Whatever.
Compulsory.
From now on, you know.
Then when they say nobody has to take the TCAP, that's just because it's word salad and they've changed the name.
They've changed the name. It's no longer TCAP. It's the statewide standardized assessment. And the vouchers are not vouchers. They are education freedom scholarships. So, you know, that's the way the Act defines them.
That education savings account is a 529.
Okay. What is that, Mr. York?
It's an IRS 529 account that you save money for your kid to go to college. And then when they go to college, you can withdraw it without any tax penalty.
I'm aware of those, but that doesn't make...
That means they're going to put their hand in their little cookie jar right there and take it early. That's what's going
to
happen.
So that means that people have to have a savings account, I guess what you're saying, in order to get the voucher money.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, Mr. York, because, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but the 529 or 8, but that's has to do with college money. This seems to me it would have to be something to do with... you know, elementary and secondary school money.
It's not a 529. They're two different things. 529s have no income limits.
Yeah, that's where people can set aside money on a tax-free basis to pay for college. You know, you start out, grandparents and parents start out doing that, you know, when a child is born, saving up for college. Yeah. And that gives a mechanism. And then what's the other one, Clayton?
Well, a 529... based on what I'm looking at, says it can use for K through 12 as well as college.
So are they going to use
with no income limits?
So people are going to, the government's going to take their savings, correct, and put it towards this.
I guess that is some kind of. Anyway, those folks get first priority. People who are eligible. So if there must be some eligibility requirements. to do that. Anyway, we'll ask Scott about that in the morning. But students participating in the Education Freedom Scholarship Program must be administered the statewide standardized test assessments required in districts for English language arts and math in grades 3 through 11. Now, there's some other things in this bill that in the House bill, not in the Senate version of the bill, that those are the provisions. The other provisions for these scholarship vouchers are only available for U.S. citizens, available for students not enrolled in homeschool or homeschool umbrella programs, with the exception only non-public schools that have been accredited and operational in Tennessee for 3 years can receive scholarships students. So they must, the school must be accredited and in existence for 3 years. And they, so there's a level of accountability, and then they must take these standardized tests in grades 3 through 11. The program will be annually reported by the Department of Education for accountability and utilization via a third-party vendor for students using the scholarship. That's the nuts and bolts of what everybody calls the voucher program. Now, there's some things in the House bill, though, that I wouldn't think would be controversial at all. First of all, it provides better health insurance for teachers. The state would up... Teachers would be eligible to be in the state health insurance program, and the state would kick in 60% of the health insurance premium for our teachers, and then of course the school district itself will put in an amount, and then of course the teacher will have to pay an amount. But better health insurance coverage for teachers seems like a no-brainer to me. It reforms the testing program, and there's been a lot of complaints about that. Too much testing, testing all the time, crazy tests. It does reform and reduce the number of tests required, and so I don't think anybody's going to be in much disagreement about that. That's been something widely recognized as needing reform for some time. Teacher evaluations are reformed to try to make the process more streamlined and fair for teachers. And again, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that at all. That's a needed reform. It also, as my understanding, it basically eliminates the third or fourth grade retention, but does provide for summer school tutoring, that type of thing, for students who are not scoring well at that level. So those things are in addition. The testing, the teacher evaluations, medical insurance, health insurance for teachers, those things are in the House version of the bill, but not in the Senate. So we'll see how that turns out.
They're going to have to mesh all that out, you know, and it certainly doesn't look like they're creating equity between public schools and this private schools where the voucher money may be going.
What I don't understand what you're saying, Ms. York.
Well, I'm saying that they're going to have some basic rules for both types of schools, private and public, in terms of testing, in terms of teacher reform.
It's got something I simply didn't understand. That
Getting enough teachers is one of the things the state ought to put a high priority on, enough qualified teachers.
You know,
to solve that problem because people are not going into that area.
All right, we're out of here. And I'm going to, you know, thinking back now, I'm almost sure Scott told me at one point that standardized tests were not to be in the private schools. So we'll get a chance to ask him about that in the morning. We're out of here, folks.